the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that the man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is it that I hear about you? Give me an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking my position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give to you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we thank you for your presence here now by your Holy Spirit. Please open our hearts and our minds to receive you afresh this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Would you like to be seated? For as long as I can remember, I have always found this a very difficult parable to understand, because it always seems at first sight that Jesus is praising this dishonest manager for his dishonesty. We heard, didn't we, that this manager is taking care of this rich man's property, and then the rich man hears and learns that the manager's not managing the property very well, and he prepares to fire him. But before the word of the firing becomes public knowledge, the manager calls in all the debtors one by one and does them a favour by reducing the amounts that they owe to the rich man. Now, the manager wasn't trying to steal the money. He was just trying to make friends with the debtors. And he still had the opportunity, so he took advantage of that time he had, in the hope that when he was fired, they would return the favour to him and make sure that he was okay. The surprise, perhaps, in this parable is the rich man's response when he finds out what the manager has been doing. He doesn't curse the manager. Instead, he praises him for acting shrewdly. He sort of admires his initiative. He admires that he's made the best of a bad situation. Now, the parable makes it sound as if Jesus thought it was more important to be clever than honest. But that isn't really the case. Jesus was not commending the manager's dishonesty, but instead he was commending the initiative. Jesus calls his followers, his disciples, to be just as shrewd. But there is a difference, of course. He wants us to be honest, but he's calling us to be smart. Not to swindle people, but be smart, he says, with regards to the kingdom of God. Just as the dishonest manager understood how to turn the rules of the world to his advantage, Jesus calls us to learn how to use kingdom rules to our advantage, and he calls us to take the kingdom of God very seriously. But I wonder how many of us really take the kingdom of God as seriously as Jesus would like us to. I think it's fair to say that in this day and age, people don't generally take the kingdom of God as seriously as they might. They don't seem to even consider the kingdom of God so much. So what are the things that people are considering? Well, I think it's, quite telling. If you go into the shopping malls today, you'll see people are taking shopping very seriously. They're in the shopping malls quite frequently. People like these days to consider the money. They like to consider getting wealth, whether it be money or things. Their own personal gain is considered very highly, generally. Not everybody. There are always exceptions to that rule. But generally, people think a lot about finances and material wealth. I think I've told you this story before, but I think it's always worth hearing again, because it's a story about somebody who had received a bill for $299. And then when he got, he'd bought something, and then when he got the bill, it said it was $299. But he had agreed a price of $259. So he was actually being overcharged. And he said that he had, a few days before, had rung around trying to get the best deal that he could. And he had agreed this price, $259. And then when he got the bill, $299, he thought, gosh, that's more than they said. And it seemed like he hadn't got as good a deal as he thought he was going to get, and he really wasn't very happy. But he remembered that he had written down the prices as he had been ringing around, phoning around. He had written down what the price was. But the problem was he'd thrown away the paper that he had written it on. And he thought, if I could find the notes, I could check, and then I could protest this extra $40 that I've been charged. So he looked through his internal bin, and it weren't in there, that had already been emptied. And then he went out to his rubbish bin and started going through the rubbish bin looking for this piece of paper. And as he was going through the rubbish bin, he remembered all the things that he'd been doing over the last few days. He went through all the boxes, the empty old boxes, the old empty dirty bags, and even went through the potato peelings and the remains of yesterday's lunch and dinner. He searched and searched, and finally he came to the piece of paper with his notes on. And sure enough, the company had agreed on a price of $254. Even $5 better than he thought it was. So he followed it up with a phone call and was assured that, yes, of course, he would be refunded the extra money and the bill would be $254 instead of $299. And he was pretty proud of himself. He had saved $45. Question is, would you have gone through your bin for $45? Would you go through your bin for $45 with or without yesterday's dinner remains? Perhaps the empty cat litter box? My guess is that probably most of us would. We would make a trip through our bin to save $45, because $45 actually is quite a lot of money for most of us. It's enough for us to take it seriously, isn't it? $45, that's quite a bit. Well, in this parable, Jesus is calling us to take our spiritual lives as seriously as we take our financials. Because we would notice if someone overcharged us, I think, $45. Do we notice as quickly if somebody doesn't turn up for church on a Sunday? We would make inquiries, perhaps, to recover a lost $45. Would we make a phone call or a visit to see if the person who has missed church is okay? We might be careful to not to miss a day's work, because we don't want to miss a day's pay. Would we be as careful about Bible study or prayer? We might be those who are careful not to miss a game of football or a special family dinner. Are we as careful not to miss church and come and worship God? The truth is, we are all careful about things that are important to us. And the question is Jesus Christ one of them? And where is he on the pecking order, on the list? Where is he? So in this parable, Jesus says, take your spiritual lives as seriously as you take other things. Make it important. And he also calls us to use our money for spiritual purposes. He says this, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it's gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Now, on first reading, that sounds a bit funny, but Luke, who recorded this parable, obviously thought of all money as tainted, because it lures people away from God. So he thought all money and wealth was tainted. And he calls all money dishonest wealth. But he tells us you cannot serve both God and wealth. But on the other hand, he encourages us to give donations to the poor now, so that the poor might intercede on our behalf in heaven. In other words, what he's saying is, money's redeeming virtue is the good that we can do with it, and our spiritual reward is what we will reap by our good stewardship. So having wealth and having things is not bad in its own, but it's what we do with it, how we treat it. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have been faithful with dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? In our parable today, Jesus calls us to a higher vision. Don't be looking at gaining in this world. Don't be looking at gathering material things or money. He says, look beyond this world. He says, use this life to prepare for the next. He calls us to spend less time worrying about what we are going to live on and more time focused on what we will live for. So not what we will live on, but what we will live for. And through it all, he calls us to love God first, to love God even more than money or anything else. And he says, no slave can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth. Now, just finally, we might not like this word slave, because perhaps we don't consider ourselves slaves. But we are slaves. We are slaves to whatever we love. We might be slaves to money, or prestige, or comfort, anything in fact that we love. But Christ calls us only to be slaves to God, to be focused on serving God. And he says once we have done that, he promises that all the rest will fall into place. So let us be determined to put God first place in our life. And I'm sure that we will find that his promises are always true. Thanks be to God. Amen.